On this night in John's Gospel, Jesus is talking intently with his disciples. This night for them will soon be about the reality of his earthly human mortality, the reality that none of us is unstoppable. They do not know or understand it yet, but in the story of the life of Jesus, this is the night of the beginning of the end, which will become the new beginning for all of us. This is a night of shadows and light, negative and positive, tragedy and triumph, bold truths and murky complexities. But of course it is that. That's what all of life is. My grandparents on my mom's side of the family were both born in the first decade of the 20th century and both lived well into their 90s. No matter what was happening in that tumultuous century, one thing that I always noticed and will forever remember about them is they always took enormous pride in the way they presented themselves and their home. Their names were Helen and Frank. They were known to my generation as Gran and Pawpaw. Pawpaw was in the garment industry and dressed and groomed appropriately. His was the only home I had ever seen that had one of those electric shoe polishers, which was so cool. You put your foot right under the big ball and push the button on top and that part's not actually in the manuscript, but I wanted to clarify. Gran had kept the household afloat through the shoestring years of the Great Depression, which found its way into pretty much every conversation we ever had. I think she'd been reusing the same sheet of tinfoil since the Hoover administration. She then held the household together when Pawpaw went off to World War II and was the oldest soldier in his barracks. He came back, we are grateful. And in the life that they made together during the following decades, everything always had a sense of tasteful elegance, never ostentatious. Their clothes, their home, their speech, their demeanor. She'd bring home dirty jokes from the hair salon, and he would always claim that he didn't get them. The front yard of their home was the most immaculate yard on the block. The front rooms inside the house were the most immaculate rooms in the house. The living room was the most immaculate room on the planet. And in the hall closet, just off the foyer, which I think was pronounced foyer in that house, the hats, he was the last man I ever knew who regularly wore a hat, and scarves and gloves and coats were very much the same, elegant but restrained, tastefully stylish. And opening the door of that front hall closet is the place to which John's Gospel brings me today, of all places, with thoughts of abiding and thoughts of bearing fruit and some things that are pruned and some things that are thrown away. I have many memories, most of them sort of vague, of that house over a period of 20 years or so. I have sharper memories of the household as it changed. Things slowing down, hospitalizations, Alzheimer's in one case, and eventual relocation to other places as circumstances dictated. Especially I remember that Gran had a gorgeous camel hair coat that it seemed to her she hadn't had for very long. And along with some other things, following a move into a facility and a life change, meaning she would most likely never need that coat anymore, her granddaughter-in-law, Vivian, had been asked to take it to a consignment shop for them to sell. Gran had high hopes that it would bring a really nice return. It wasn't that she needed the money. But I wonder if there may have been maybe an expectation or a hope for some small validation of a lifetime of frankly, excellent taste. It had been a beautiful coat to wear out to a nice dinner, or to go to the theater with some friends, or maybe a Christmas Eve service at a large and relatively affluent church. Problem was, that lovely camel hair coat that seemed like she had just had it for a couple of years, that she thought was still very much in vogue, no consignment shop would take. In 1992, it looked, they said, like an old lady's coat from the 1970s. I wasn't above outright lying. My spouse is better than I am, but I wasn't above outright lying. But we managed to stretch the truth in all kinds of directions to avoid having to tell Gran that nobody agreed with her assessment that it was still a stylish coat, just like one that any unostentatiously elegant person would pay a respectable amount of money to buy new. Sorry, Gran, we haven't had a chance to get down to the consignment shop. Never mind the fact that we never were going to go there in the first place. Oh, you know, silly us, we keep forgetting to call and check on the status of that thing. Well, they've got it in store, but they're probably kind of backed up, and we think maybe they just haven't put it out for sale yet. Whatever it took, nobody wanted to be the one to say that fashion went out a long time ago. Which would mean that what you, after a lifetime of having a clear eye for this kind of thing, think is current and fashionable, the rest of society, commercial society, sees as, well, the consignment shop can't sell it. So here I find myself today with thoughts of abiding and bearing fruit and things that are no longer fruitful and things that are pruned and things that are thrown away. For everything there is a time, says Ecclesiastes, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to keep and a time to throw away. But the message of John's gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ is that it's not that people age out of being fruitful, or that at some certain stage God forgets about them, or that God gives everybody one kind of prime time in life, and before that and after that time, you're not quite as relevant. It's not that we have only one time in our lives to be relevant, to be useful, to be fruitful. God says, those who abide in me, which is to say, those who live in me for as long as they have breath, and I in them, always bear fruit. I am the true vine, said Jesus, and my Father is the vine grower. God removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. But every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. And then Jesus gives his disciples the assurance, you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I do still and always abide in you. For any adults who might be in the room today, are there things that you could do 5 years ago that you can't quite do so easily now? Or 10 years? Or 35 years ago? Or 50 years ago? Yesterday, I heard somebody say. What's that line from Max Ehrman's poem, Desiderata? Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. I think he was like 49 when he wrote that. I'm not sure he knew what he was talking about. But every branch that bears fruit, God prunes to make it bear more fruit. What has the master vine grower cleared away from you, pruned, that has made you able to be more fruitful? I still admire what I saw on the t-shirt of an academically distinguished older gentleman who was leading an Alban Institute seminar 10 years ago that said, "Old age and treachery will overcome youth and skill." There are times in many people's lives when, and like many things, this is probably clearer in retrospect, when God has sent a lightning bolt into their lives that started a prairie fire that clears away the scrub and the tangled undergrowth to enrich the soil and allow new life to grow. Sometimes it's not a wild prairie fire as much as it is a fresh breeze of the Spirit that freshens the rooms in the houses of our lives. Has the Holy Spirit gently cleared out the old air from a musty room in your house? Or has wildfire cleared out the brush that only later you realize was prohibiting new life from taking root and growing? For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. What can you do now that you couldn't do 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20? Or 50, or yesterday. It is not our particular capabilities that determine whether we are relevant in the world into which God has placed us. Useful, valuable, meaningful. Youthfulness is not a prerequisite for flourishing. It is certainly not a prerequisite for faithfulness. It's not the homes we live in, or the clothes we wear, or the times we live in. We are made relevant by the fact that God has already said, "I abide in you, and you live in me." You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I do abide in you. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Those manifestations of the Spirit, the gifts that God has given you, may change over time. But God abides in you. And you abide in God. We are about to receive the nourishment of bread and wine, body and blood, here at the table. Each one of us will come before God with our weaknesses and our strengths, which are different now than they were yesterday and will be different tomorrow than they are today. But every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our Lord Jesus until he comes again. What could ever be more relevant than that? On the last night of his earthly life, Jesus, on the threshold of being taken to the cross, to give the ultimate gift, to make the ultimate sacrifice, and win the final victory, implored the people who had gone with him all the way to Jerusalem. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father, our God, is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples."